Greetings and hello from Mike and Bonnie. It has now been, tomorrow it will have been 1 month since we've been able to gather at the gathering place. And I miss you guys and hope that we're able to get back before too much longer, hopefully by the end of this month. We're just continuing our study through the book of Philippians, and I will actually be closing out chapter today, looking at chapter 4. So we'll go ahead and get started, and I want to actually go back and pick up the last couple of verses of chapter 3 that Josh covered yesterday, so that we can kind of tie it all together. So I'm going to begin in verse 17 of chapter 3. It says, "Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in the shame and minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." Chapter 4, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that I am speaking of being in, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except only you. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Now, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. and my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, and especially those in Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Wow, this is a packed final chapter in the book of Philippians. And just some thoughts that I want to mention. Evidently, Paul had a good past relationship with the people in this church. He calls them my joy and my crown. He said, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Those are very tender words that Paul uses for the church in Philippi. And then he goes into this next verse, and he calls out a couple of the women that evidently had some issues, some personal issues going on with each other, and they weren't in agreement. And evidently it was causing some discord within the church, and he calls them out by name, Euodia and Syntyche. And he encourages them to agree in the Lord. And he doesn't go into a lot of detail, but he also encourages the people, the fellow church members, to help these women to solve whatever issue they had. Evidently, it wasn't an issue with the gospel. It was some personal matter between them that was causing some discord, and so he encouraged them to help them to resolve it. And I think that is a good word for us when there are disputes among our membership and they're causing division. We need to be quick to settle those issues and remind each other that there's no issue bigger than the gospel. We need to be able to set aside some things and agree to maybe disagree at times. And then I want you to look at verse 4. Paul became a songwriter. Do you know the tune to that song? Can you sing that song in your head? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I kind of grew up with that song, and I've sang it to my kids, and some of you have too, and it may be generational. But anyway, that's a song that's familiar to me, and it's encouraging. And then in verse 5, he tells us how we ought to be known. Those within the church and those without outside the church ought to know this about us as followers of Christ, that we are reasonable people. We should be reasonable even in our differences. We should cut each other some slack. So that's the way we need to be known. And then verse 6, I want to talk about this just a little bit. Do not be anxious. Coronavirus. Loss of job. That's just a couple of things that we're dealing with right now. Have you had any conversations in your living room about what's going on in the world around us right now? I know we have. And we've talked about, just the, kind of the fear of the unknown and the heightened awareness that we have of germs. A lot of people wearing masks when they go out and those kind of things. And is it wrong for us to be anxious over that? you know, that those are tough things. I can tell you that that I've been anxious, and in my household we've dealt with some anxiety. So what do you do with those anxieties? Do they overcome us? I don't have the answer to how to make everything better, but I know what Paul encourages us to do with our anxiety. He said, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that begs the question, does God already know? Does he know you're anxious? I think he does, but he wants to talk to us about it. He wants us to share those anxieties with him, and there's something, therapeutic about sharing things. You need somebody to talk to, and we need to encourage one another to talk to us and to talk to God. And look for answers in him, because he's the one that has all the answers. If we do, let those requests be made known to God, he says. And I want to say one thing about anxiety, that Paul encourages us here to do not be anxious about anything. That doesn't mean Paul didn't have some of his own anxieties, because he actually talked about anxiety in a previous verse. I think it's chapter 2, verse 28, when it says, indeed, he was ill. He's talking about Epaphroditus going back to them, and he said he was actually ill and near death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So he had some anxiety about the people and their trusting in God, and how the work of the gospel was going to be handled, and those kind of things. So it's not unnatural. It is natural, I think, for us to have some anxiety, but and God wants us to talk about those. And then he says, when you do that, he provides. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's another one of those mysterious things about God. We can't understand it. It says that it surpasses understanding. It is a peace that God gives you that settles your heart, that that allows you at least moments to overcome the anxieties of the things that are happening around you and in you. And he gives us some things to focus our attention on. Instead of focusing on the objects of our fear and those things that rob us of peace, he said, put your mind on these things, true things, honorable things, things that are just and pure and lovely, commendable, excellent things, things worthy of praise. Think on these things. He tells us in other places to take every thought captive that comes into your mind that would try to rob you of God's peace. Practice these things. Do them over and over again. Make it to the point that every time one of these distractions come into your mind, that you capture it and take it to God, and God's peace will be with you. I want to go back and pull a verse out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, first maybe the first four verses. beginning in verse 1, chapter 26 of Isaiah, it says, "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. You keep him in perfect peace. God keeps us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, and the Lord God, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." That's where our peace comes from, the peace of God. How do you keep your minds in Christ? How do you keep your minds on Christ? Guard your thoughts. Guard your thoughts. These are great words of encouragement that Paul gave to the family in this letter to the church at Philippi. They were encouraging words then, and they're encouraging words now. So that's what I want to do. I want to encourage you that God's peace is available, and he's ready, and he's waiting. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are the giver of peace. And I pray that, Lord, that in these days when our attention and so much focus is on the things that are bad in this world, Lord, I pray that we would be salt, we would be light, we would be encouragers, we would be doers of your word. And Father, that your gospel would be spread abroad. We know that this virus has spread throughout the world like a plague, and I think I pray, Lord, that your light would be that way to the dark world, Lord. That you would be lifted up, you would be glorified, and you would draw all men to yourself. And I pray, Lord, that you would use those of us at the gathering place to be examples of what it is to be the light in a dark world. And I just pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct us in all of our thoughts and actions. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and good day.